gray hair, and he wanted to know if she's a model. And she's like, no. And he's like, then you're Pentecostal. She's like, yeah, I'm Pentecostal. And he said, you know, Pentecostal women are some of the most beautiful women on the planet.
That's right.
And that was from a worldly man's perspective. But then he said that dreadful word and said, but they're also Brutus.
Oh,
yes. Oh.
And it's true.
And you know, and when she told me that, I had to think about how, you know, most Pentecostal women I know, they are not conceited. So I began to think, okay, so why would the world think we're rude? I don't understand that. But I think a lot of us get intimidated or we feel insecure. Maybe it's by, you know, we put all our energy and a lot of our money into the kingdom of God. So we may not drive the nicest car. We may not have the nicest home because we all know this is not our home. Mm-hmm. We have another goal. Mm-hmm. And so we may sometimes feel intimidated by that. Maybe our education, maybe we didn't go to college, and so we get around people that have all these degrees behind them, and they're so intelligent, and they talk so intelligent, and we may feel intimidated by that. And so I began to think, you know, it's not because we're conceited that the world might think that we're rude, and maybe very conscientious how people might perceive me. And I know I have been mistaken as rude, and I'm about as introverted as they come. My dad is a horrible introvert. My mom's not really that outgoing either. And so people have mistaken me as being rude, and I'm just repulsed by that, you know, because that is the last thing on my mind. But as scripture, I don't usually use my iPad because things move, and then I get really nervous. Remember, I get nervous when I talk anyway, let alone when things move on me. You know, another thing might be intimidated is by the world's worldly beauty. But remember how that man said Pentecostal women are some of the most beautiful women on the planet. And a lot of times, it's because of our inward beauty. When we pray and we spend time in the presence of God, there's this holy glow about us. I mean, think about Moses, and after he spent that time in the presence of God, they asked him to put a sack over his face because he glowed so much. There was something about his aura that intimidated them. They said, cover it up. Okay. In Acts 4:13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's pretty powerful when you really slow yourself down and think about that. They didn't have a pedigree in Pentecost. They did not have, they were just fishermen. They were just normal man on the planet. But they took note of them because they had been with Jesus. The night before I came, so that had been, what was it, Thursday night. I was talking to my husband. He had no idea what I was going to speak on. And he shared with me, one of our young men in our church goes to public school. I think it's a charter school. But anyway, he decided he's going to take pottery this year. And really, this young man has a lot of potential. I've seen God use him in prayer many times. And even God's tried to use him a couple times now in text and interpretation. But he's kind of I don't mean to be rude, but he's kind of a lazy young man. If it doesn't come natural, it doesn't come easy, he doesn't really put much effort into anything. But God has used him. He can get very tender in the presence of God. And so he's taking his pottery class, and he said, God really began to convict me. And he had shared this with my husband, and my husband shared it with me. And of course, my husband had no idea that I was going to have clay and talk to him about the potter and that we're the clay. And he said one time he almost done with this little thing he was, you know, using, and he goes, I didn't realize how important water was to my clay, and I was almost done, and so I didn't add any more water. He said, and then one little side just fell off. He said it got so dry that it just fell apart. And he said, and I tried to stick that little, you know, put a little water on that one piece that fell off and shove it back on my little thing I was creating. He said it wouldn't work. He said, so finally I had to take my whole thing and mash it, add a ton of water, and start all over. And he goes, and that's when God began to convict me that, you know, he said, and this is what he shared with my husband, he said, sometimes I don't put my best effort out there, and then I truly do fail. He said, but then the times that I go ahead and I try, it's always to some degree beautiful. And I thought, man, I'm getting ready to talk to Morgan about the potter and clay, and so I'm going to use that. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right, see, it did to me again. That's what I thought.
That's fine.
Okay. Oh, and so that made me, when I was reading the back of my clay, of course, this is not true potter's clay, but I thought it was, it works for us, because normally a potter would put, once they created it, they put it in oven and bake it. But our clay says, if you leave it out for 2 to 3 days, it will dry completely. And I thought, well, that's kind of like walking with the Lord without praying. If we go 2 or 3 days without praying, we get dried out spiritually. And, you know, a lump of clay that's dry is unmoldable with potter's hands. And if we get too far away from prayer, we become not moldable in God's hands. And I don't want him to have to mush me and mash me and start all over. Another nugget God gave me years ago is that praying is like tithing. It's tithing on my time. And so most of us that live for God at all are so careful with our money, and we want God to bless that money, but yet we can take our time and it's all mine. We can easily go about our day and not have tithe, but on our time and spend time in the presence of God. Is anybody in here single? Is anybody single? No, sometimes you go to ladies' retreats and you may feel out of place because everybody's married, everybody's talking about their children, everybody's talking about their spouse.
It's like professional single.
I was 25 before I got married, and I always got so frustrated because everybody was trying to marry me off. You know, they were always trying to hook me up with somebody. And if you remember last night, I was infatuated with the presence of God. And when I came to God, I had been in the world, and I got in the church when I was 19, and I tried all that dating stuff, and I told God, I said, I don't want to waste time dating. When the right person comes around, you're just going to have to tell me. Because I'm not going to take a year to get to know somebody and find out he's not the right one, and have wasted a whole year of busying myself with the dating, the phone calls, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, but it's driving me crazy. Every time I look down, it's changed. I want to help some of you that are single. 1 Corinthians 7:32-34, and a little bit of 35 says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And then the last of 35 says, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So I want to encourage some of you that are not married, don't be like little hamster in the wheel that's just so pining to be married that you're going nowhere in God. When I was single, I had so much more time to pray, to fast, to read my Bible. If I wanted to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go pray, I could do that. If I wanted to stay up really late and pray, I could do that. But now I've got their laundry to do, their cooking to do, the children need help with their homework.
Talent.
My time is not my time.
That's right.
So, but there is hope. You know, I'm getting older, maybe a little more time. But if that's where God has you, enjoy where you're at. Enjoy where God's placed you. Wherever He's
placed.
And Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Didn't come natural. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Okay. So whichever way, wherever God's placed you, ladies, let's learn to be content. And remember, Peter and John were unlearned. No matter who you are, God's no respecter of persons. But what's he a respecter? I said it last night, anybody remember? He's not. not a respecter of persons. You don't need a pedigree in this experience we call Pentecost. He's a respecter of hunger. You take one step towards him, he'll take a mile towards you. And you know, I guess I should be a little more specific too. When I talk about prayer, I'm not talking about going to God with a wish list. And sometimes we can be real guilty of that. When we go to pray, it's like, okay, God, touch my dad. God, touch my finances. God, help me today with this coworker that irritates me. Whatever, whatever, whatever. But instead of going to prayer and remembering he's the lover of your soul, you know, we can waste a lot of time just doing a wish list. And that's not the kind of prayer that I've been talking about. And here's a good, this is what I want to leave with you. Here's a good judge. Of course, people know us by our fruits, right? Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. That's a big one for us sometimes, where we don't have the joy that we should have. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In verse 26 it says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So the true test, if we really have been spending time in God, in the presence of God like we should, these things are going to be evident in us. And just like I keep saying about Peter and John, because they spent time in God's presence, of course we can't physically be in his presence, so I want to say in the presence of him spiritually, they shall, that evident power without weakness. They took note that they had been with Jesus. And they could say the same thing about us. If we've spent time, that's what I wanted to tell you guys. It's kind of funny on myself. Like I said, I'm a hermit. When I was in college, it was pretty bad. My friends would, I'd get to school and they'd say, had a good prayer meeting this morning, didn't you? Yeah. And the next couple days go by, they go, you didn't pray very good this morning, did you? How do you know that? Because when you've had a good prayer meeting, of course I'm a hermit, talk, you smile, you. So, anyway, the world will know us by our fruit, and I want my light to shine. Yes. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident. I love the saying back there, somebody put back there, and I say it all the time, we may be the only Bible that they ever read, and let them read Jesus, and let them think that we're the most beautiful people on the planet. I'll make sure.